You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
Hi, Lucas. How are you today?
I'm well today.
Like, how are you doing?
Like really?
As a person,
like,
how are
deep
you?
Deep down, I'm pretty good, man. I'm
like on a
good
scale of 1 to 10?
I would say 8.
8? Okay.
What all about right you? 1 to 10?
I would say 8.25.
Oh, you're better than me.
Always.
Well, I'm a little harder on myself than you are.
Been like that way for 25 years, Lucas. Yeah. All right. So today we got a banger for you with our new structure. We're going to talk about real estate. We're going to talk about rehabbing. I get this question a ton, and then we're going to give you some secret tips to understand how to rehab. Then we're going to get into business. We're going to talk about what's WFH again? Work from home, yeah. Why work from home is killing corporate real estate. So we get into some business stuff with that. The finance section, we're going to talk about Boeing stock dropping. Now is the time to probably buy. In the life section, we're going to talk about Tiger Woods leaving Nike. And then we're going to get into some riddles, then some true falses, some would you rather. So we got a packed, stacked, and jacked episode. Maybe we should coin that. Packed, stacked, and jacked.
Coin it. How do you coin it?
You get out a freaking coin and you put it on it.
Okay. And then we'll give it out.
Yeah.
Pack, stack, and jack.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to write that down.
Bitcoin.
All right. So, Lucas.
Yeah.
Real estate. Rehabbing. This is one of the biggest things that scares people away. I get questions all the time. And what spurred this is I was having a conversation on Instagram, which just passed 500K. Golf clap. And we're doing a fun giveaway, but that won't matter for this. Anyway, somebody was like, how do I know how much rehab is going to cost? I'm like, well, you go to, you know, you get bids. Well, how do I get bids? You do, like, it just, like, people just really are scared of rehabbing. So what we're going to do is kind of go over the general rehab process and give you tips on how to budget and things to do so rehabbing is less scary, because I think rehabbing is the one thing, or not the one thing, but the biggest challenges you actually have to do. You can analyze a property. You can figure out what's going to be worth. You can, you know how you're going to approve tenants. Like, you can plan for a lot of things, but in order to get good at rehabbing, you actually have to do it. It's one of the few things that you can't prepare for, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say it's the most challenging part of investing in real estate, building a rental portfolio. You know, go out and find the deals. Yeah, has its own challenges. Finding private money might be challenging, but construction is a challenge, and there's challenges along every step of the way. So someone getting in the first rehab, there's a lot of different challenges. Someone looking to go from 2 rehabs to 10 rehabs a year, a lot of different challenges. Someone looking to go from 20 to 50, it's just scaling rehabs. There's more challenges that come along with the more construction that you do too. Not just one house, but I think mainly we're going to focus on getting into that one house and figuring out how to, because it all starts with that one house. You got to be able to accurately estimate the rehab and execute that project one time, and then you can have a repeatable process and move on to the next one.
Yeah, because every house is different is the thing that makes it difficult, and it's not something that has too many known variables. There are to a certain degree, but when you get into projects, things balloon, things unexpected come up. You can't calculate or account for everything. And if everybody in our office went and did a rehab budget on a house, we would all come up with different numbers. Yes, most of us would probably be similar, but we'd all come up with different numbers because everybody takes a rehab to different levels. So it's just there's a lot that goes into it. I think that's why it's the most scary thing for people. And they grow up learning math or like looking at like pictures, but like growing up understanding the trades and it's just so foreign to people, I think.
For sure. And every house is different. You know, you could have your 2000s build subdivision home that's, you know, frame and drywall. And then you could go, into an older part of town, maybe the city, that's brick and plaster and a 150-year-old house. And to rehab both of those houses is, yeah, there's some similarities, but they're almost completely different. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's important as one of your initial steps to really narrow down your buy box and figuring out what your skill set is. Maybe it is the plaster and brick, and then go after those type of rehabs. And maybe it's more just the cosmetic side of things, and that's more in the newer construction, I would say, you know, 1970s or whatever, newer. Figure out your buy box and go after those houses that you understand the rehab process on, at least the most.
For sure. Does my face look red at all? I was under a light a lot yesterday. I felt like it was like burnt a little bit. No.
Was it a UV light?
One of those like type of lights.
Yeah. Have you seen those like UV lights? Those are like.
Doesn't CJ have one?
CJ's got one. My wife has one.
Have you used them?
I haven't, but I mean, it makes sense, especially in the wintertime. They just like put them up while they're working, or put them up, you know, while Ash puts it up while she's getting ready and just get some extra vitamin D while we don't have a lot of sunshine this time of year.
Well, give her some vitamin D then, Lucas.
Maybe her, probably not CJ.
Probably not CJ, no. I don't think so, no. So, Lucas, how do you, as a new investor, how would you, can walk me through how you would attack a rehab on a property?
Yeah, new investor. So I would probably, you know, try to get some sort of set prices somewhere. That's what's cool. Not trying to plug Faster Freedom too much, but we have a rehab calculator that has suggested prices for every single line item that you're going to come across in a rehab. So I would try to look online somewhere just as a starting block for, you know, what does a kitchen cost? What does flooring per square foot cost? Painting per square foot? I would start there just to get a general outline before you bring in any outside parties. And then I would probably walk a house or multiple houses with someone else who has done it. And that's the importance of getting plugged in with your community. There's probably 100 investors in your market, I would assume. And several of those people would be willing for a coffee or a lunch to walk you through their rehab and show you how they break it down. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And then next, I would probably start getting some third-party contractors involved as well. And bring those people along, say, I want to do this, and this. Can you give me a bid?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get those bids and start creating your own template for estimating cost. You're going to have to build that out one way or another. We built ours from scratch just over time. It's ever evolving. Ours still evolves to this day. But you're going to have to get some real actual cost, whether it be from a house you're analyzing or someone else's projects, to start filling in that rehab spreadsheet and start building it out. And this is before you even make an offer, mm-hmm. probably on the house. So get an idea of what it costs before you even make an offer, because that's going to be the driving factor to your offer.
Two things. One, yeah, that's what I don't usually talk about that. I think that's a good one. Is I'm like, you can get other people to walk your house with a contingency or when you're looking at it that's like experienced to give you their opinion. Mm-hmm. But I don't always often tell people to go walk other people's properties. They'll glad you. I'm going on Saturday morning, check it out, meet you there kind of thing. You meet them at a meetup or some people you know investing and just walk through it with them and see their process and what things cost. And that's a great tip. Number two is, Lucas, when you buy an undershirt, you don't just buy it, have it be a straight, like, solid undershirt.
I just wanted to go two buttons down today. I thought this was a little tight. You wouldn't be able to even tell, but it's a little tight.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
But, like, undershirts, like,
but I don't really buy undershirts for undershirts.
But adults have undershirts without, like, Cardinals logos on them.
This one's sweet, though. This is a Cardinals logo.
I figured the red. But, like, just undershirts without anything on them. It's a thing to do, I think.
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
I think it only matters if you're letting it hang like I am today.
Okay. Well, like, I saw it earlier because your button, like, was, like, out a little bit. And you can see the – yeah, that's where I saw, not up the top. All right. So, anyways – so I'm going to take this one, let you fill in the gap. So finding contractors is tricky for a lot of people, and we went through this, and there's a long answer and then the real answer, and then there's a short answer. The short answer is you can go to local meetups, local Facebook groups. You can go to Craigslist. You can go to Thumbtack and just try to find whatever trade, Angie's List, whatever it is. Look for, you can look for, you know, plumbers or electricians or drywall or insulation or painting or flooring, whatever it is. You can find those via the online resources for free on, you know, again, Facebook groups. You type in, join your local Facebook group. The real estate investing ones. We talk about this all the time. You say, I'm looking for a plumber to give me a bid on a rehab. You will get multiple people giving you, their contact information and getting bids on it. So that's a way to do it. But the real answer is it's just trial and error. Mm-hmm. You're going to have those people. You're going to have situations that it works, it doesn't work. You're always going to be building that core group of contractors. But getting started and just kind of putting the top of your contractor funnel, filling it up with a bunch of inefficiencies of four contractors here, you know, four plumbers, four electricians, four roofers, and then you're going to narrow it down to the people you like to work with. But it's just a process, again, that you can't implement or you can't imitate. You have to actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Along the same lines of figuring out what it's going to cost to rehab your project is find someone else who is doing it and then get referrals.
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone that's referred to you, that trust is already there. If you understand that person is a good rehabber, you trust them in one way, shape, or form, that goes you know, that's so much more powerful than finding someone on Craigslist or not. So just ask, hey, do you got a good roofer? Hey, do you got a good painter? Hey, do you got a good floor? There's some contractors that people might want to hold close to their vest.
Mm-hmm.
No problem at all. I wouldn't try to continue to push for that. But majority of the house, of what needs to be done to the house, the people that are using contractors are going to be very open to giving you their contact information.
I think a vast majority walls of people don't have enough business to keep a contractor busy 24/7. So maybe you have to earn their trust a little bit for them to give you their inside contractor. But very few people have enough work to keep contractors busy 24/7, and they want to feed their contractors with good investors to keep them busy, to keep them profitable, to keep them in business. So they will gladly give you a referral. But you have to go meet these people at meetups, Facebook groups, just talk with others. This is why we say it so many times. We're going to say it so many times more in our lives. You have to go connect with people. This is a connection type business. It's a relationship business. So you have to meet these people.
And a quick pro tip, if you don't mind.
Pro tip.
You need your buttons.
I know, Tyler, Tyler took them away from me.
But I would recommend doing some portion of the construction project yourself.
Yes.
Some portion. And understanding what that portion is, so you can clearly communicate scope to these contractors. So whether it be just the demo,
mm-hmm.
You're going to learn a lot about a house just by demoing it out and seeing what's what, and it's going to create other questions, so you're able to learn what's going on. Whether it be taking a step further, maybe you can do some painting, maybe you can hang cabinets, maybe you can do the landscaping, maybe you can do lay some floor, some tile. I think whatever you can do on that at least initial or first handful of projects is going to set you up to understand the entire rehab process more powerfully when you inevitably, hopefully, transition out to hiring the whole construction process out.
I think that's the most important thing, because it's not always going to save you money to do it yourself. It probably will. If you're somewhat proficient, it will save you a little bit of money, but hiring it out, getting it done faster, not having to spend the time away from your family where you could be doing other things or buying more properties or just having it take longer and the cost of money that it's going to cost you, it's not always a huge money saver to do it yourself, but there's other benefits. You probably shouldn't save a little bit of money if you're decently proficient, but also you're learning the process so you know what's going to happen and what it takes to actually do things, and you can speak more confidently when you're talking to contracts about what you want done and what you don't want done.
Yeah, if you're, you know, sucked into every project and you're there 9 to 5 every single day, you're not a real estate investor. You have a construction business.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what you want to do, great. There's some great construction businesses out there. But if you want to be a real estate investor, you have to learn how to leverage other people's skill sets to save your time. And you might have to pay a buck or two to do that. But to get to where you want as an investor, that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, for sure. So it's just, you're going to, one of those things, there are certain things in real estate and in creating wealth, I think, in general, you just got to have to roll up your sleeves and actually do. You're not going to be able to passively sit on the sidelines and, you know, smoothly go through everything if your end goal is to actually have some aspirations to create wealth. And this is one of those things. You're just going to have to dig in and do it. Why don't you talk a little bit, Lucas, about how far to go on rehabs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because this is one I get a lot. Like, when do I stop? Do I redo the kitchen if it's 90s cabinets in decent shape? Should I do the floors? Do they need cleaning? Should I replace them? Like, what types of things do you look at? And if you don't have anything I do, you look at when you, how far to take a rehab?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a question we ask our, we ask in our company every single house. Every single house has the same question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it is completely trashed, the entire thing, and everything needs to be new, you know, it's not as hard. You're just picking final materials at that point, you know. Maybe you go with a granite over a laminate or a nicer light fixture. So, but either way, those are not tough decisions. Some of the tough decisions are, you know, do I leave this kitchen? Do I leave this floor in this room? Do I put a new panel in? Stuff like that. So I look at it in two separate lenses, whether you're keeping it for a rental or you're going to market and selling the house. So if you're keeping it for rental, obviously you want it to be nice. You want people to want to live in your house, but it doesn't have to be to the nines and the fanciest light fixtures and all that. When I do a rental, when we do a rental, we want it to be very structurally sound and be able to withstand the wear and tear that tenants are going to cause on it over time. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of different materials that can wear better than other materials. And I personally think, and it depends on every project. Sometimes we have to go, we don't have a lot of budget. We got to get it done for this price. And maybe we'll go laminate instead of granite. Maybe we'll keep the carpets and clean them instead of going LVP. But in general, we like hard surfaces that tenants have to really put some work in to destroy. And then to when we go to turnover, after those tenants move out, we can just clean everything instead of having to replace carpets or instead of having to replace countertops. So on the rental side of things, you know, clean, functional, sturdy with a nice pop of design somewhere here and there.
Yeah, for sure. Because good tenants have options and you want them to move into a nice, clean place. And it's going to really, really help alleviate future, you know, burdens of your cash flow, either on a maintenance type basis as well as on a move out, because mm-hmm. the most expensive thing of owning rentals is when people move out. So nicer, more bulletproof, we say that like kind of tongue in cheek, but more yeah. bulletproof the property, you're going to story time later, you're going to be able to clean instead of replace, like Luke said, but also your maintenance, because when there's like a little issue here or there, it's expensive to coordinate with a tenant and then has sent either a tech or just a third party company out there to fix something when you could have easily done it on the rehab. Now, as far as the flipping yeah. side of things, is a little bit different.
It is a little bit different. I think there's some things that, just a quick example. Our houses here in Missouri have basements. So basements, what do basements get usually every once in a while, Sam?
They get wet.
They get damp.
Water always underground. Wins.
Yeah. It's going to find the path of least resistance. So in basements that are finished, in our rentals, we like to go LVP because inevitably it's going to get some dampness, and that LVP is 100% waterproof. So we'll spend twice as much to do the LVP to be able to save our butts on maintenance down the road. As a flip, you know, we might go carpet in the basement. In the short term, carpet's nicer in the basement, in my opinion. It's warmer, it's softer, but long term, you could possibly have some issues, especially if it's a little older house. But I'll go carpet in the basement on a flip all day. Save yourself half the cost on that flooring. But other stuff besides that, you know, there has to be some sort of design feature that is not necessarily necessary in the rentals. It could be a clawfoot tub in the bathroom. It could be something as simple as a $100 flat screen TV mounted in the bathroom. It could be a feng shui wall with some shiplap or something like that. A couple little features like that throughout the house that you can figure out how to do inexpensively that really wows the buyers when they walk in is extremely important on the retail side and much less important on the rental side, I would say.
For sure, and to kind of round out the flipping side of it, I think how far you take it is how far the market tells you to take it. So if you're looking at a $450,000 house in St. Louis in a decent area, maybe Chesterfield or something like that, you're going to look and see what other houses have sold for. So if these other houses have granite or quartz countertops and they have backsplashes in the kitchen and the cabinets are, you know, newer within the past 5 or 10 years, well, you're going to have to do that. You can't leave your 90s cabinets and your, you know, Formica countertops. And on the other side of it, if, that's what you're getting is most of your comps have granite and backsplash, you don't have to do this marble flooring with this, you know, over the top type of things. You want to make your house slightly better than the competition. So the competition is the house that they've recently sold that are in the same area of your house. And this one, you can, I think, look at, like, you can look at all houses. I think when you're running comps for your price, you can look at two stories and ranches, and you got to compare apples to apples. But when you're looking at types of finish, if it's the same price point, I think you can look at two stories and ranches and all different types and just see the levels of finish that are in there and try to make yours slightly better. But don't overdo it, because there is a cap to how much someone will pay. We've seen that with Pequeno. Mm-hmm. We saw that with Pequeno. So quick story time. Luke's and I bought a 4-2. It was probably our third or fourth flip, maybe around there, 4-2 in a really nice Rockwood school district here in St. Louis. It's a big house. It had an unfinished basement with a huge, huge crack. Some of the worst cracks I've seen. Mm-hmm. It was fixed. It was under warranty. It was more structurally sound than it was the day it was poured. However, it was an eyesore. So Lucas and I, let's finish this out. Let's spend $40,000 in the basement unnecessarily to finish. We'll have pictures before and after, show everybody. We're not hiding it so people don't know it's there, but it's ugly. So we finished out the basement, added a whole nother bathroom, did an egress window for a bedroom, just went $40,000 in the basement that wasn't necessary. So we had a 5.3 or a 5.3.5 or something. And we sold it twice for $230,000, which the highest house in the neighborhood sold for $200,000. So we were, 10, 15, 20% over the highest house in the neighborhood. And both buyers backed out because I think their agent or banks were like, we're not going to give you a loan on this. You're overpriced yourself. We spent all that extra money thinking we were going to get that like pigeonholed buyer, and it just didn't work out because we over rehab. So you can over rehab.
Yeah, for sure. I would, if you're buying distressed properties the way we teach off market, majority of the time, you're going to be able to put that house on the market as it sits the day you bought it and probably make some money, right? So you buy a discount house, you throw it on the MLS for and make $20,000 the way it sits. So if you spend $20,000 on that house, you got to make sure that return on investment
is making more than 20.
And that's at every stage of the rehab too. Mm-hmm. There might be three different levels you could take this. Maybe just paint and flooring. Maybe it's paint, flooring, kitchen, bathrooms. Maybe it's the whole nine yards, and make sure every dollar that you're putting in, you're gonna get back more than that, the levels that you take it up. And that comes with looking at the comps and level of finishes in the area.
For sure. All right, so in general, I think I'm going to round this out, Walls, and we'll move on, and I'll give you your closing statements, and then we can move on to the next segment. But in general, when you're rehabbing, it is a newer thing. If it's newer to you, you're just going to have to go through the process. Now, you can get assistance at the beginning, before, and along the process by leaning on other people in your market, having some type of community. Obviously, the Faster Freedom community is the best out there. We will gladly hold your hand through the process. But having somebody, either paid or for free, help you along the way, you will get your money back tenfold. But in general, you're going to want to get multiple bids. You're going to want to communicate clearly with the contractors. You're going to want to do what you can to a certain degree so you learn the process a little bit and maybe save a little bit of money, and just kind of immerse yourself in these first few rehabs. After a while, if you don't like it or don't have time for it or aren't good at it, you can back away. But in general, I think it's one of the things that you do have to dive deep into.
Yeah, that's great. And I would say to close it out is I'm going to dive into that. Clear communication is the most important part to me. Up front, what the scope is, what you're paying the contractor to do, clearly communicate that. And then after you hire them for the job, continue to communicate along the entire length of the project. Show up to the house, hold site visits on the house, walk through what are we missing, what else do we need to do to get this project to the finish line, and do that every single week, if not multiple times a week, until that project gets to completion.
Faux show. All right, on to the business segment, because we talk about real estate, business, finance, and life here on the Faster Freedom Show. This segment is brought to you by samchat.io. Go to samchat.io and you will get a absolutely free ChatGPT version of Lucas and I's brains. It's not just my brain because it's from our YouTube videos, but it is much better than ChatGPT because it's just real estate focused. So go there, ask it any question you want, and our brains will answer it even though we're not knowing it.
Wild.
All right, so Lucas, work from home.
Yeah.
It was necessary for a while.
Yeah.
And now it's not necessary, but we're still having some laggard issues with the mass movement of work from home. My fucking adjectives are on point today.
I'm proud of you.
Focused, right?
Yeah, at least every word you've used today, I know. So that's a good sign, too.
I'll work on that.
To throw some fancy ones in there.
I will do that. I'll throw some corroboratory words in there.
Corroboratory?
Yeah.
Good. There's one.
I don't think that's a real word.
Okay,
go.
All right. Anyway, work from home. What is work from home? I think when COVID hit and we couldn't have mass gatherings of people because everybody's afraid of getting sick and nobody understood like exactly what this virus thing was. It's kind of weird there, kind of scary for a while. So it was like this massive push to figure out the best way to communicate with your team members virtually. Mm-hmm. I think virtual team members was a thing in the past, but it was very, very exaggerated. I don't know. It blew up when, when COVID hit.
Okay, yes.
And it forced people to efficiently work from home, so much so that a lot of companies never really got back to 100% in the office. So it's created so many work from home jobs that the question here is work from home killing corporate real estate? And I'm going to say it is. Absolutely.
I think it is right now. Messing with this mic. These mics are nice.
Very nice.
I can. Why would you say it like that?
Because I'm working on my adjectives. Very. It's a tough one.
You said the R with the D was a W. You said very.
Very nice.
Stop it. All right. I think it definitely is hurting you right now. I don't think that's arguable, Lucas. The numbers show that. However, I want to read this stat, and this is where I just really try to have perspective on things. I know you do as well. So let's talk about this. So according to CNN, that makes a perfect short when you just fumble words and you can cut into a short. So
start over.
Cut.
Go.
According to CNN, office vacancy hits a record high. The national office vacancy rose to 19.6% at the end of 2023, the largest quarterly increase since 2021, and the larger than the 19.3 levels reached twice in the last 40 years. So in general, 19% is a lot. However, it's happened twice in the last 40 years. So for me, it's one of those things that's cyclical, and maybe cycle isn't like exactly even the intervals in between the cycles, but there's reasons for cycles. And I think, I don't know what the reasons for the old cycles were, but it has happened before. So I do think it will come back to a certain degree. I think a lot of those offices are going to get repurposed for residential and other types of things. So I don't know about commercial development blowing up, but I do think back to the office, and we'll get to the reasons why, how much more efficient it is when you're working together in the same office. But I don't think it's dead forever. I just think it's one of those things that is down for a little bit. We're on the map for a little bit. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So I would say, national office vacancy, 19.6 right now.
Yep.
Versus pre-pandemic levels of 16.8. I would consider that drop to be mainly around what the economy is doing and not work from home personally.
Okay.
I think that number is doesn't tell the whole story. Cause that is just goes off of corporate leases, I would assume.
Yes.
So you still have certain leases in place, maybe 3% less, but each of those leases is a company. Mm-hmm. And of those companies, the vacancy is probably 50%. I don't know. That might be
but an exaggeration. What you're saying is companies like Enterprise locally in St. Louis have vacancy, or they still have leases in their buildings. Yep. However, their employees aren't going
much
in.
Much less people.
They're still working from home.
It's exactly.
So Kevin, and we have people obviously know locally here in St. Louis to work there. It's like goes in twice a week still. So he still works from home a majority of the time.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be more of that. I don't think that's going away. You know, I don't love it. It's not our culture, which we'll get to here in a second. But I think more and more people are getting used to it and almost expect it when they go out and try to find a job, some work from home flexibility. And if that's the case, these corporate leases are going to need to a much less smaller space and going to need to downsize to some way, which is going to lead to more vacancies in the future is what I think.
Yeah, I somewhat disagree with that, which we usually agree on most things. I think that companies like Apple and Google and Zoom, even, which they caught flack for it, but Zoom, the company that's all about meeting virtually, made their employees go back to work, just because I think numbers have shown and proven how less productive people are at their house. And companies and businesses, their bottom line businesses, they need to make a profit. And if they see enough numbers and enough data, maybe it's going to take two or three more years, mm-hmm. of the less productivity and the less profit, they are going to make their employees come back. Some companies have done that. Nobody will ever convince me that most jobs can be done more efficiently at home. Like we deal with that right now. We have a couple virtual employees, and it's just so much easier to go to the office next door, ask them a quick question rather than call you back, go back mm-hmm. and forth, FaceTime. The Zoom doesn't work. The audio is never right. People are distracted. So it's just so much easier to have everybody in the same building. And maybe it takes some time, and maybe I'm wrong, but I do think we are going to, I don't know if we'll go back to, you know, the highest occupancy ever of people in offices, but I do think it's slowly going to start to trickle back to people seeing that you cannot be as profitable working from home for most roles.
Yeah, you're right. I do disagree with that. I think it's going to go the other way.
Yeah, I think you're wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Well, let's fist fight over it.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So I think companies are bottom line. They care about profit, and you're not going to be as profitable if you have people working from home. I don't think.
I think there's certain roles that, that are more productive at home and without distractions. Like
which type of roles would you say?
Anything that you gotta, you're a doer. If you're a doer, productivity in the office to me is less.
Okay.
So I think where the benefit to us and our company, how we're set up, is the communication. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a big part of it. But actual productivity, myself included, would be more productive working at home than in the office.
Well, yeah, but you're a different role. Like, you couldn't work from home. But like, I can't think of a role here that would be more bottom line productive than being here. I can't think of one role we have that's like, hey, you will get more done and we'll be more profitable if you don't come into the office.
Yeah, it's hard to relate it to
our company's
profit.
Different. Yeah,
that's, well, that's a tough analysis in my eyes. I don't know where you got those numbers from.
What do you mean?
Just the difference of profitability between a certain role, whether work from home or work
in the
office. Well,
that's why companies are making people come back, because they've seen the numbers dip. That's
also in the middle of a pandemic, so I think there's other things in place there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like Zoom or Google or Apple making their employees come back to the office, if it was more profitable to have them at home, they would have left them at home.
I don't know these numbers, but I bet Apple has a large population that are working from home still.
But they made a lot of people come back still.
Yeah, but still, it's never going to be like what it was.
I agree
with
that, but why would they make them come back if it wasn't more profitable?
Well, I think they just, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I just,
I think there's other reasons besides profitability to being back in the office, like culture, which ultimately could lead to profitability.
Yeah.
But
We would agree. Companies, I'm in the argumentative mode after me and Taylor went at it last night, but wouldn't you, you would agree that a better culture usually leads more profitability?
I would agree with that, yes.
And then being in person usually leads to a better culture.
Yeah, but there are companies that are focused. There are companies that don't believe being in the office is for their culture.
Probably
that is
few.
Our culture.
Probably
That's
a,
not everybody's
I know,
culture.
I agree, but I think most, but not all, you're right. But I would think most, I think we do a little different, but a lot of companies do care about culture, not just us, and they do want to be together, a majority.
I'm just saying that's not the biggest piece to people's culture. Some companies' culture is being all together physically.
Yes.
Because some people are spread across all the country.
Some businesses, yes.
Yeah, a lot of businesses.
Oh, I thought we were looking up data. Perfect. Okay, yeah, no. Nobody knows for sure. I don't know that it'll go back to the norms, but I don't think it's going to get worse. I don't think, like, I think anything else, the invisible hand or whatever is that, like, helps, like, supply and demand. But offices will get used for other things, multi-purposes.
I agree with
that. So then it'll all work itself out. Where the
changing though. It can't be how it is now.
Things are always changing. I agree
for sure.
So I do think that people will, just like when, gosh, I'm getting deep here. Not deep, but just weird. But just like when they machines did more work and people went to factories less, and machines do more work. Those people it all will adjust. I guess is what I'm trying to say. As a lot of the office space will be used for multi-use, it'll be used for co-working space.
That's
be
a good
used.
Point.
So then, the occupancy will kind of go
Correct.
Back to normal because
but it's not because people going back to work.
That's part of it, but part of it is the supply will contract a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that part of it. I think we're at the height of people going back into the office, though.
We'll see. I think companies need some more data to see the inefficiencies of it. But nobody knows for sure, and there's probably never an exact stat that's going to show either of us are right or not. But I think it's just interesting, and I do think, is the future bleak for commercial developers? And again, this is kind of what ended on this note or this section on that. I would think, I don't know about bleak, but I mean, they were building houses. I built my first house in 2011, the bottom of the bottom. So there are still going to be commercial developments, but I don't think it's going to be a booming industry. And the people that are good at it and pick the right locations, I think are going to do fine. But I don't think you're going to be able to just like stumble into a corporate development that's going to crush it just because, there's a bunch of demand for it.
For sure. I think it's evolving. I don't think you're just going to be able to build a normal white box office building sky rise downtown and be comfortable being like, oh,
there was a time you probably could to a certain degree.
Right. But we're going to have to get creative with our spaces, and it won't necessarily be just like office working environments. It'll be, co-working or, maybe some entertainment type space as well. So that'll be cool to see. I think it'll be fun. Yeah.
Not really our arena. I'm sure we'll get involved a little bit to a certain degree, but it's not really our arena. But my chest, Lucas, is
from
a little
those 35s.
My chest is like not like crazy sore, but like it's sore. Yeah. So I didn't work out there for, so I got sick a little bit, then the holidays, and just probably like, I was in a good good poutine, as we call it around my house, and Maisie calls it Liza poutine. I was in a good routine of, you know, working out 3 or 4 days a week for a couple months, but then about, probably I've worked out probably twice in the last 5 weeks, but we're back at it, and my chest is very sore from doing 35-pound dumbbells.
New Year's resolution.
Incline. It wasn't that. I started before the New Year's. It wasn't that. It was just about how I was feeling. All right, so awesome. So, in general, work from home is hurting corporate real estate as well as other factors. I think we've decided on the middle ground.
Yep, currently that is where we're at.
All right, so the finance section, which is brought to you by the Faster Freedom Insights newsletter. Tyler, I'm assuming at the bottom show notes and YouTube, we have the link. All right, so if you want to get part of our newsletter, it's AI generated. We have input in, obviously, but it's not just about Faster Freedom. We have a ton of other, like the AI software scrounges the internet for blogs and news articles that are highly read and entertaining. And like they, and I think there's like usually 8 to 10 articles that you can like up to date current things. And we're one or two of them. So it's really, really good. The newsletter is really, really awesome. So check it out and you can, you know, get signed up for free. Obviously check the show notes, but it's pretty cool. So that's what this section is brought to you by. All right, Lucas, what happened in the finance world? You just found out about this yesterday.
I did. This is wild. So there was a Boeing 737 MAX.
MAX 9.
That was purchased by Alaskan Airlines, Alaska Airlines, and was flying. And the emergency door, you know, like in the middle of the plane, like if you sit in the emergency aisle, they give you a different spiel, right? If this happens, whatever. But while they were flying in the air, that door just blew off.
Imagine sitting there.
Probably without a seatbelt.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, I think they were 16,000 feet or something. So my captain might have hit that seatbelt sign.
Oh, my Lanta.
What if somebody got sucked out?
That would have been a big deal.
Yeah.
So no one died. Thank goodness.
Yes.
And there's video from inside this aircraft as the door is not there, and it, you know, it's loud, but it's not as loud as you think it would be.
And nobody obviously caught the door getting ripped out, because why would no one assume that would happen? But Boeing's seen a couple of these instances in the past. There was the 737 Supermax 8, the ones that got grounded because there was a couple of those
control issues, like electric or something like that.
They were options that the airline could choose to put on their plane or not, and it was found out that they were necessary, but the airline, I don't know if they're trying to go cheap or whatever, didn't pick those options. Had those options been on there, it would have been fine. So it was more of that kind of thing. This is more of a manufacturing issue, I believe. Yeah. And it sounds like the FAA has grounded all MAX 9s in the U.S. and the world now has followed suit. And it sounds like United said they found some loose bolts on several of them. So I don't know if it's just a loose bolt thing or if it's a design flaw thing. But Boeing, they produce airplanes at mass. Like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe they're kind of St. Louis-ish based to a certain degree. I feel like it happens, and like their stock goes up and down. Like, I know that after the Supermax 8 issues, people died. That was huge for the stock, but it bounced back. I think it's going to bounce back. I don't think it's a bad time to buy the stock, honestly, you're thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this damn plane still. I'll get to the stock here in a second, but like, out of all the pieces of the plane that could just fall off as you're flying, that's probably one of the better ones. What if that was like an engine?
Yep.
Or a wing
or landing gear. Well, yeah, or landing gear.
Yeah, that's freaking wild.
Yeah, it is wild.
But yeah, I think let me look this up, Sam. I don't know if Boeing stocks have been crushed, period, I would say, over the past.
So financial advice, don't buy. While you're looking that up, I think I need to start teasing this a little bit more, but we're going to be completely redoing our show, call it the Faster Freedom Show. It's going to actually be a show. One of the things I think we'll do to York, I texted last night, was we'll do like reactions, or like this kind of stuff we'll actually let people see that are watching. But anyways.
Okay. So yeah, like you said here, yeah, 10% over the past 5 days. That's pretty expected.
But that's a lot of, that's billions of dollars.
Yeah. Over the past six months, they're actually up 7%. Year to date, that's not very accurate now that we're in the new year. 1 year, they're up 9%. But 5 years, the past 5 years, they're down 34%.
I wonder if a big part of that was the Max 8s.
Yeah, there was that was probably 4 or 5 years ago. Was that like 2020?
It was a couple years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so 2020, it had a big, big drop. Because people died. Way bigger than 10%.
That was, yeah.
Way bigger. It was just straight line down. So, yes, it had to be a part of that. But before, they haven't reached levels that they were at before that happened since. They've been kind of just...
teetering along.
Yeah, teetering along. So, who knows, man?
Who knows?
It's such a risky... industry,
it
what
is.
They do, you know, they get a lot of government support, even if and bailouts and funding, but
and contracts. I mean, contracts are probably
so,
huge.
Yeah, for sure. But so you get a lot of consistent income from the United States of America. But I don't know. To me, on the investment side, I just don't like the fundamentals personally.
Yeah. So you're not going to invest in it?
I'm not.
Okay.
No. I looked into it after you said that. I was like, damn, you're right. I love buying on weird shit like this, like weird
Black
shit
Swan
with
events.
Like the Bud Light advertising and the Target advertising. I love that stuff. Like good companies that have little weird blips. I don't look at this the exact same way as those two things.
Yeah, because you take emotion out of it, not to go into a rabbit hole. There's all these people, I'm never buying Bud Light again,
yeah.
Or shopping at, it's like they're like sound. If you take emotion out of investing, which you should always do, then if you have emotion in your investing, you're not going to be a good investor. So
for sure,
take your emotion out of it, whether you disagree or agree, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Take emotion out of your investing. So yeah, I don't know what the future holds. I would assume they're going to be okay, but who knows? I mean, they do have that government and like the Caterpillar, which their biggest customer is the government. I mean, they sell like, I would sell like 2 or 3 motor graders a year to the counties, and a ton of them sold, but like they would have like 10,000 motor grader orders from the U.S. Army to go over to other countries and like grade roads and things like that. So that would be insane, the government. So that's a big, so that'll keep them afloat, but they got to figure this stuff out. A little more quality control or what it is, but I don't think they're a bad company. There's only so many companies that make planes. That's the tougher industry to be in.
For sure.
And not many people are going to come in and try to overtake that. It's not like the car industry, I don't think so.
No, it's not. Yeah, I agree. It's crazy though, like the design of these planes hasn't, like from an outside perspective, I mean, a lot of the internal stuff probably has changed, but from an outside perspective, it's been pretty the same for the last 50 years. Like a plane looks exactly the same.
Well, and the inside, the aviation and things like that, we see a little bit in the private jets that we're hopefully going to buy one day, is a lot of that, like, I get it, because like it's all tied together, and this is huge government regulated thing, and they're not going to just change things to look cool like in cars. But like there's all the, like you'd think it'd be like a freaking screen where you tap like a you're in a Tesla and like a vehicle, because they're a multi-million-dollar machine. But there's these little dials and all these mechanical things, and I guess they do that for safety. I guess it's safer. But anyways, it's
I've learned a lot about how to fly a plane by that Tom Hanks movie.
Yes, for sure. Sully.
Yeah. I haven't even seen the whole movie, but I've seen that that landing scene. It's wild.
That's a wild scene. Yeah. That's the height of the movie for sure.
Okay. Well, that's all I've seen on TikTok.
I like Hanks in that movie, but you're fine. You don't need to watch anymore. Cool. All right. Moving on to the life segment. This is brought to you by freerentalwebinar.com. Go there, check it out. It's a 21-minute webinar. You know what's cool about this, Lucas?
Tell me.
We are the only people in the space, Faster Freedom, that I've seen, so I guess I don't want to speak in too much generalities, that we give the free 21-minute training, legit training, away, and we don't collect their phone number or email address. They like most places, like free training, but like, give us your information. Nope. It's ungated, and I've had some people like, that's confidence or ballsy or stupidity, one of the three. But you can just legit go get a free training, and we'll never contact you.
Yeah,
And at the end, of course, you have the option to contact our team to hear about the mentorship, but it's 21 minutes on how to buy your first rental property.
Love it.
Cool.
Straight to it.
Alan Pruitt. All right. Remember that, Alan. You were Alan for a minute.
Yeah.
You were Alan for a straight minute. All right. Life section. Tiger Woods leaves Nike. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's kind of been floating around there for a while.
I hadn't heard it until it just hit yesterday, the day before.
I think he got asked about it the other week or day or something. I forget what it was. He's like, I'm still wearing it, aren't I? Or something. It was his answer or something like that. So obviously there was some fire to that smoke where some grumblings have been happening for a while, rumblings, whatever you want to say. But yeah, it's a big deal, man. That was that's a big deal.
They created their whole, like, that TW logo and brand around it. It was a whole separate thing. So it's very interesting. It looks like his recent agreement was signed 2013, so maybe it was a 10-year agreement, I would guess, right? End of 2013, end of 23, for $200 million. So that would be $20 million a year, which is honestly less than I thought.
Yeah. That was a long time ago, though, right? Yeah. 2013.
Maybe
so
maybe he's ago. Like, if you guys ain't going to pay me $200 million a year for the brand I'm at now, I'm gone. And they're like, nah, we ain't doing that. And,
yeah, they're not. That's not the space that they want to keep playing in, right? They've pulled out all golf equipment 2016. So they pretty much just do golf apparel now. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Just like hats and shirts. Do they do balls still?
I think they still do balls. I don't know. I know Tiger was the famous for he did Nike for a while, that ball that like he chipped in the Masters. Mm-hmm. But he was Bridgestone for a while. He's been using Bridgestone balls for a while now. So, which is interesting.
Didn't they do something like Tiger? Like, just they were like different clubs, but or balls. I forget which one it was, but he just put like the Nike like emblem on them and said they were Nike or something.
Oh yeah, maybe that was that Bridgestone balls or something. I don't remember what it was, but
I
yeah,
it was the clubs. Like they were like tailor-made clubs, and you just throw a Nike sign on them.
I think it was the balls, but could be the clubs. Yeah. But who knows? It's just interesting because he is. Like, he is the only sport, and not even any other sport or player. He, like, a lot of players, and even LeBron, even Michael, they completely, like, move the needle. But he was and still kind of is the needle for golf. Any event that he's in, just absolutely 10, yeah, 15 times the viewership. It isn't, or more. It is insane. So I don't know what's still happening next. If he's starting to you know, if there's a reason, if it's money, if he's starting to want to do his own brand thing. But this is interesting. I didn't realize that Nike had been down so much. So since end of 2021, their stock's down 40%. That is wild.
That is wild.
So, I mean, imagine. So the other athlete that's pegged in to Nike is that everyone thinks about, though, is Jordan.
Spieth.
Michael Jordan.
Jordan
Spieth is Under Armour.
Okay, there you go.
But
Steph Curry.
But so Under Armour for a minute, they had Steph Curry, Jordan Spieth, Cam Newton, and a hockey guy. So they had like the top guy in all four sports, yeah, was an Under Armour representative, but that didn't last long. But anyway, so Nike, yeah, I guess they've been getting their ass kicked. I did not realize that.
Yeah, I think it comes in waves, right? Like, mm-hmm, when Jordan signed to Nike, Nike wasn't really big at all.
Nope.
Back in the day. So I think like what was like Converse or something in the basketball
Adidas
world.
And Converse, Adidas, yeah, and Converse. And then Ben Affleck brought them to the next level.
Yeah, and Matt Damon, right?
And Matt Damon, yep. Yep, they brought Nike to the next level.
But yeah, I don't think it's a good sign. I think they have been wanting to get out of golf, but to be able to get out of golf and keep Tiger has been a huge accomplishment over this last 7 years. But they're going to have to just completely abandon golf and go into other sports at this point.
I think like their sponsorships with other players, because they sponsor a ton of players, is going to go away. I think actually Jason Day just signed with somebody else.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is Tiger leaving them or they're like it. Like I would assume there was some number Tiger's, yeah, okay with. They're like no, and they're like no point in negotiating.
Yeah.
If you ain't in, we're going to get out. Because I just now thinking that there's several golfers that were Nike backed that I know are moving away from Nike.
Yeah.
It's probably not coincidence. Our boy Adam was Nike for a while. Nice. But that was a couple years ago. That was like
four years.
So yeah.
Yep.
That's that. All right, Lucas, you ready for to be riddled?
I read through them briefly, and I'm gonna have a tough time with these
all three
guys.
Of them. Oh, good. You got. I think usually Lucas gets one right, but we'll see if he does.
I'm gonna get one right.
Doubt it. All right. So this is the riddles for Lucas. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. If you have me, you want to share me. If you share me, you don't have me. Mm. This is a great one. What am I?
Yeah, so initially I was thinking like, you know, if you have love, you can give more love. But if you give it, you still have it. Doesn't
go
away.
That is good to know.
Same with money.
Yep.
If you have money and you share it, you still have some money.
Money's close, but that's not, or not close, but that makes more sense than love.
Yeah.
Money's a good one, but I don't think that's it.
I don't think that's it either. I'm going to say, I don't think this is right. I'm going to go with time.
Okay, a secret.
A secret. Mm, no, I mean, it's not close to time.
No,
I
thought maybe
you.
No.
No, that's good. Secret's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, but it's not like a tricky one. It makes sense. Some of them are that one makes sense.
No, that one's nice. Yeah, like you can't hold on to that secret, right? Yeah. You want to tell somebody,
but then when
and as soon as you tell somebody,
it's not a secret anymore.
Not a secret anymore. That's good.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Turn me on my side and I am everything. Cut me in half and I am nothing.
What am I?
This one is phenomenal.
I have no idea. I'm just picturing things that you set on their side that are important, and then you
it's
cut
not
it
something
in half.
You, how about this? It's not something you'd usually set on its side. And it's not even a thing that you set on its side, but you can.
Mm. But it's, so it's an object?
No,
like,
not really.
Is it a physical object?
You can kind of.
What do you mean, kind of?
Well, I tell you,
if you like punch it, will it hurt your hand?
You can't punch it. I mean, if you put it somewhere, you could punch it.
If you put it somewhere. Damn it. I was going to go with, I'm not going to get this one either, but I'll just tell you my thought process. My thought process was a dollar bill or any sort of, I know it's not right, but like to me, like a dollar bill, like if it's upright, you know, that doesn't happen very much. But if you set it on its side, you always see it on its side. And if you cut it in half, it's not
that's
worth
not
anything.
Horrible. It's the number 8.
Oh, boy.
You put it on the side, it's an infinity sign. You cut it in half, it's zeros. It's very...
So everything. Gosh darn it. T or...
See, that's why I'm like, you can't punch it, but you could write it. I guess I should have said write it.
It's not an
object.
Is
this you or is this Shane or Gainer? Nice. Gosh. Get him. And I'm going to get all three of mine right. You are just... Gosh, you're so stupid.
What? Help me.
All right.
More hints.
You might get this one.
I know this one.
You're in a dark room with a candle, a wood stove, and a gas lamp. You only have one match, so what do you light first?
So, the not-so-smart person, which is not me, would say, light the candle, so then you can light the wood stove and the gas lamp. But to start off, you have to light the match.
He got it. Yeah. 1 for 3. How do you feel about that performance?
I feel terrible. Good. I'm glad I got one.
Glad you got one.
Have I got stumped before? Like,
oh, I'm sure it's you, so yeah, probably.
I don't know if I have a 0 out of 3.
Zero.
Maybe I have one.
1 for 3.
I'll take 1 for 3. No, those, you were zero those for, first two were tough.
You were 0 for 3 because you went 2 for 3 a couple weeks ago. You were like, yeah, 2 for 3. I'm like, you're 2 for your last 6.
Yeah. The secret one was great. The Infinity 8 one is dumb. I don't like the way you guys did that, especially saying it's an object. And then
punch it. Yes, if you write the number 8, you can punch it.
If you put it somewhere, is what he said. I was like, where, like a closet?
Yeah, put it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
All right, true or false?
All right, Prem, your turn.
These are so much harder. These are so much harder.
All right. True or false? The average human body consists of 60% water.
Well, that's tricky because that's obviously true, but like, is it 65? Is it 70%? Like, I don't know the exact percentage. I know we're a majority water. I think it's 70, but I'm going to say true 60.
That's true. Okay. 60. I would have said like 80. I would have said false on that for sure.
Well, you know what's interesting? Like, the amount of water per the body is similar to the amount of water in the planet.
That's what I was just going to say. So, would you say if you had to pick.
I think the planet's 70% water and the human body 60%, or maybe they're both 60%. So I don't know. But obviously, as the oceans rise, we fuck with that shit.
71% water on Earth. That's crazy. That's what I thought.
You see how smart
was.
I am? I was 1% off.
1%.
And it probably was 70% a few years ago. It's went up.
Yeah, global warming, bro.
So hey, look what this is. Ready?
Icebergs.
Check out that one, right?
All right. You've already tied me. All right. True or false? The mosquito has a record for killing more people than any other species in written history.
True.
That is true.
Mosquitoes kill a lot of people
that carry diseases. West Nile?
That was one. He doesn't even probably remember that.
Bird flu. Was that mosquito? Was that a bird?
Probably a bird. mosquitoes probably got it from birds by biting birds for sure. Like mosquitoes, that's like whatever the fuck they bite,
yeah.
They don't die like bees die, like we talked about last episode. So they just carry that shit with them.
Yeah, and then they bite you. And give you. It to you.
Yeah.
Think about it. It's just like passing blood around.
Yeah, that's gross.
It is gross.
I mean, I don't think they insert the blood in you, but yeah, whatever. Like there
could be like on their beak, like a drop of it
I'm
on
sure
their beak.
Something, a very small drop. I don't think they have beaks.
Well, what would you call that?
A stinger?
It's not a stinger. That's on a bee. This is their mouth. You can't have a mouth stinger.
So it's not a beak. What would you call a mosquito's mouth? Maybe just a mouth.
I think it's a beak, bro.
It's not a beak.
What would you call like a bird? Like a heron?
A bird.
A heron.
A bird.
Or like a crane, like where they stab the fish.
That's their beak because that's a bird.
Yeah.
It's Luke. It's a proboscis. You freaking duh.
Duh.
Hold on. Watch this. Ready?
Nice.
2 for 2. How do you feel right now?
I feel just fine.
Okay.
I'm proud of you. You're doing really good. All right. True or false? Last one. Apes cannot laugh.
That's false. How would they ever know that? They just got to be funny. Right, 3 for 3.
So what do you mean, how would they ever know that?
How do they know an ape can't laugh?
I mean, they watch them in captivity.
Well, I'm not going to laugh for the rest of the day.
So they've either seen them laugh or not laugh. Are they physically able to laugh?
Yes.
Yeah, they are. So it's false.
I know, I'm 3 for 3.
Wow, you did good today.
Thank you. Are you proud of me? Let's go 1 to 10.
Two.
Okay, one being the most. Thank you. All right, Lucas, would you rather, this is a fun one. Oh, would you rather be stuck as a character of Friends or in Breaking Bad?
Friends, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Breaking Bad, everyone dies or pretty gets much. Put in jail, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of stress.
Yeah, that's a very stressful show.
Yeah, I've always had this thing about like New York City. I got this like infatuation with it. I've never even been there.
You need to go.
It just looks so fun. I don't think I would want to live there like full time, but to visit and stuff.
It's very stressful, but it's very cool.
Yeah, I would love to. Friends for sure. What about you?
Yeah, Friends for sure. What character would you be in Friends if you could be one?
I would be Bruce Willis. What was he, like Rachel's boyfriend for like a few episodes?
He was.
Yeah. No, like one of the main, what is there, six?
Mm-hmm.
One of the main six.
By the way, I heard Bruce Willis is struggling right now a little bit, so.
Oh, yeah, Bruce. Thoughts shout out to Bruce. That guy, yeah, man. I love him. I love seeing his family rally around him, yep. as well, too. It's been pretty beautiful to watch, although sad at the same time. But
that's life, beautiful and sad.
Particular character, though, I would be Monica. What about you?
You remind me of Monica, or Phoebe. You're like a mixture of Phoebe and Monica. I would be Ross.
Yeah. You look like you are Ross.
Ross is a G. Ross is hilarious.
Yeah, super dry, super dorky.
I take it. Yeah. Like Chandler is the most consistently funny, but like a couple of episodes, Ross had me like literally, and you probably like most people like, he's funny too. I love him. But a couple of the episodes, I was like, dying laughing. Yeah. Some of the stuff he did was,
rest in peace Matthew Perry as,
yes,
well too.
Yes, for sure. That was tough.
Yeah.
All right, Lucas, you did the last one.
This is the second one, right?
Oh, the second one. Do the second one.
Would you rather be able to control fire or control water?
I would say,
so think of yourself as a Paw Patrol character. Would you rather be Marshall or Zuma?
Well, neither of them control.
Well, when they get the emeralds, mm-hmm. and they become Mighty Pups, they can a little bit.
Okay. I look at it more as like Elsa.
Yeah.
So you have boys, I have girls. Elsa. But then I'm still not convinced that in Frozen 3, Anna, who's got red hair, is not going to have fire powers. I thought for sure that was coming.
Sick.
She is
a fire sign, for sure.
But I thought for sure that was coming in the second one, that like all she was going to have fire because her sister has, it makes so much sense. And red. Yeah. They're foreshadowing.
This is a great question. What would you rather control?
Probably water. I just feel like it's more applicable. How often am I going to need to control
fire?
Well,
we just talked about it. 71% of the Earth is water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. So you're able to do more things, for
especially
sure.
If I could like freeze and stuff, that'd be freaking sick.
Oh, yeah. You'd be doing everything. Imagine a flood in a town, and like, you could just, yep, no flood.
Well,
you could save people's lives more.
You
than
could with wire, fires too.
You could,
but
not as
they're
much.
Just not as prevalent. Yeah,
yeah. A couple forest fires here and there.
And maybe I take water and put out the damn forest fires.
Ooh,
just
boom.
Go to the ocean. Like,
water. I'm water for sure.
100%. All right.
You are a water sign too, Mr. Emotional. I'm a fire sign.
What the fuck? What are we talking about? Signs? Signs from what?
Well, we talked about Anna and Elsa, and
like a
she's
sign,
gonna
like a
control
Scorpio
fire.
Or a Cancer sign. Is that what you mean?
Well, those relate to one of the elements.
So my sign in the end of October is a fire.
No, you're water. I'm fire.
Hell yeah.
And water is like the emotional.
You're way more emotional than I am. All right, number three. Would you rather be on a dating show or a survival show? I know this one for sure.
So survival shows, not very many of them, right? There's like
Naked and Afraid,
Survivor, Lost, maybe? But was that kind of like survival?
That's
survival
a TV
based?
Show. I think this is like reality.
Oh, I'm
show.
Sorry, not Lost. What's that other one?
Amazing Race is one.
Amazing
of them.
Race.
That's Survivor.
Yeah.
The Lost is a produced
Elemental
TV.
Is so funny that Elemental popped up there. Fire and Water, that's me and you right there.
he's buff. I'll take it. I like him. He's annoyed the
guy.
Shit out of me the first few
he's
minutes,
a good
but then
guy.
He got better.
Man, the dating shows are so many. It could be like Love is Blind. It could be.
So, like your favorite dating or your favorite survival show, which
yeah,
one would you rather be
I would
on?
Say this point in my life, I don't need a dating show. You know, I'm not going
to
go on a dating show.
Ashley does listen to this, so be careful.
So, I'm going to go with a survival show.
Yeah, I think survival show would be fun because I don't really know how. Even though I hate to be uncomfortable more than most people. But I think survival show. I don't really, wouldn't really want to be on either, but.
Yeah, I watch like my any guilty pleasure if I ever watch as a TV show on the reality TV show side is usually the dating show types, and I feel like most people are on there just to like get their social media followers up.
Now they are. It didn't used to, but now it is. There was never on there. It was always for clout. It was never for actual love. But now it's for social media.
For sure. Yeah, 100%. So I'm gonna go survival.
Awesome. I agree with that. Perfect.
Water fast.
Oh yeah. How are you doing now, Lucas? Just drank only water for 70 hours.
Yeah, I think during our last episode, it was right in the middle of it. I think I got to eat that night, and that first meal was glorious, but I couldn't eat a whole bunch.
You overdid it, and you got a headache from one
margarita.
Because of the sugar and the alcohol.
Probably not the best thing to drink.
But did it taste good?
It was so good. Blood orange margarita. It was very good.
I can't get past the tequila kick, bruh.
Yeah, if you don't like tequila, then it's probably tough.
And whiskey. I feel like they're similar, no?
Nah. Some of the tequilas can be... No, like not aged in a
not
barrel.
Similar flavor, but just that like potency to them is similar. Like vodka is just
vodka is the most potent to me by far.
Vodka's fucking
like
man.
Like sipped vodka straight, you know, that would be
just
like
don't sip
rubbing
anything
alcohol.
Straight.
Yeah,
but oh, by the way, fun story. You know how I have known, you know, kind of pretty famous for drinking Tito's and club sodas, like my thing. You introduced me to that. I was gin and tonic, and then we went to the pool at your old neighborhood. I think it was me, you, Courtney, and Liza, or Maisie, and Drake. I don't think Ashley was there. Maybe she was doing something. But you brought these, like, cups. So we snuck these, like, water bottles in, and you mixed, like LaCroix and vodka. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't know. And then I sipped them. I'm like, it's not bad, and
it's
I drank
such
it.
A better drink and better for you.
Yeah.
Like, you were, like, looked so bloated when you were just drinking tonics every night. And I was beer. Like, bro, these things are like sodas.
My face was fat, and I had to shave it because my job.
It, like, changed your life.
Yeah. I look a lot different. Like, for now.
You don't
even recognize me back. Like, Courtney looks at the picture, like, who was that? Because, like,
just tonics.
Eating worse. Yeah. I'm sitting in a car for 70,000 or 50,000 miles a year.
Yeah.
And then I drank beer too back then, so a little bit too. Yeah. So
you were a different person.
Yes.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you, Lucas. Yeah. You changed my life. All right. Motivation Monday. And this one, I'm going to take the beginning of this one because this one is. I feel like I don't know if we're late to it more, but this one is inspirational quote is, I never dreamed about success. I worked for it. So I am, and that's Estee Lauder. Estee Lauder. And I feel like I did a little hard R there.
Is that a man or a woman?
I believe that would be a woman. So this is the fun thing too, T-York. Like part of the, like all the stupid shit we ask can be like on the screen for the show. What is Estee Lauder?
Is that like a makeup brand?
I believe so. Makeup or clothing. It's a Chica Linda.
Oh yeah, it's a woman.
Nice.
And Estee Lauder, can you tell us what that is?
Cosmetics.
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. So you said makeup, right? So you
yeah,
said
that's okay. Like that's part of cosmetics,
correct,
isn't it?
Correct, yes. Okay. So,
not our specialty.
No, I like this because this is what I think. I think, working for something and, like, rolling up your sleeves is super, super important. Now, I have come to realize that just rolling up your sleeves and working hard, I feel like you do have, like, ceilings, but so few people are willing to just roll up their sleeves and work for it. Sit there, dream about this. I want to do that. How many people said they want to do this or want to start doing this and never do it because they're afraid to actually work for it and roll up their sleeves? If you don't know what you're doing, and even if you do know what you're doing, you have to spend a sustained amount of time just working your ass off, working your dick into the ground, and just working super, super hard in order to actually get any momentum. And then at that point, you can do the mindset thing. You can kind of cool it. You can do whatever you want. But you have to roll up your sleeves, and so few people are willing to do that. So I love this quote.
Good. Yeah, I think where people get stuck is they dream, and they dream some more, and they continue to dream. And I heard a great quote the other day, like the ultimate form of torture is having dreams of what your life could be and never do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the putting in the work in comes into play. But I do think you got to have to have a dream first to even know what you're working towards.
Yeah.
But you have to, at some point, have to, if you want to accomplish and have those dreams come true, transition from dreaming into busting your ass at some point.
And you don't have to be a big dream. Our initial dream was one house a year for 10 years.
Yeah, a dream.
Yeah, it just has to be some type of movement. And then as you do the work and put in the work, then you'll know, am I going to go all in this? Am I going to pivot to something else? But you don't know unless you try something. I don't know if a ton of people pick one avenue to dream about and then never do it or do it and then you don't know that you could pivot to something else unless you actually do it. So you just have to get some experience by rolling up the sleeves see a little bit of inertia.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. All right. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please share with a friend a couple more of these, maybe four or five more of these, and we're going to be launching a new show, the Fast Freedom Show. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be like an hour and a half-ish. We're going to have segments. It's going to be quite the show. So it's going to be a mixture of Colin Cowherd Show, Pat McAfee Show, and one other show. I don't remember what. One other one, but we'll get that. But it's going to be real estate and life related, as these are, but a lot deeper and a lot more developed. So thanks for being here. Share this episode with a friend and make sure to like and subscribe.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.